talk to them. Ask for an appointment with them, because before you go and flood your appointment stream with a market that you don't know or understand, you need to talk to the experts in that market.
Yep.
If you're looking at India, for argument's sake, you can send an email off to General Travel and ask what's going on, or Deepak and Poyam Journeys, and get some feedback on, is my product suitable for this market?
Mm.
So there's some really simple things you can do to make your life a little bit easier when you're looking at putting stuff together.
Well, kia ora, all you wonderful listeners out there, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Tourism Chat Show. I'm Michelle Caldwell, the host of the show, and today we are digging deep and unpacking the secrets of trends. Yes, that's right, we're not far to go now. We're coming up very quickly to trends, and all of you going this year will know that the appointment schedules are now open. So hopefully you're in there having a look at all of the profiles of the buyers and choosing who you would like to see that best matches the product and experiences that you have to offer. Now, how do you do that? Well, this is what this episode is all about. We have one of the country's most experienced sales managers joining us today. He has done over 20 years of trends, so has got just a few tips to share with you today, and he really needs no introduction, so we'll get on to that when he joins us. But look, if you've got any questions whatsoever about trends, please head over to our Instagram page. It's at the Tourism Chat Show. Feel free to drop a question onto this week's promo post, or you can send us a private message if you like. Happy to answer those or pass them on to someone who can. So it's pretty easy at the Tourism Chat Show, or you can come to destinatenz.com and find me there as well. Well, hopefully you've had a great week and you're looking forward to this episode. It is a little bit longer than usual, so you may have to listen in on the way to work and then again on the way home, but there's loads of tips. So stay with us and hopefully you will get something out of this, and we are going to have an amazing group of sellers at Trends this year because you're all totally on top of what has to be done. So let's impress those buyers who are coming down and show them what we can do, New Zealand. Anyway, enjoy your week, guys. Enjoy the episode, and we will see you back here next Wednesday. Ka kite. Okay, so we're back for another episode of Trends Unpacked, where we go in beneath the surface to talk to industry experts about their tips and tricks for getting the most out of trends. And look, this week's guest doesn't really need any invitation whatsoever. He is the most mentioned industry person on this podcast since we started 3 years ago. It's Brad Patterson. Hey, Paddo. Welcome to the show, finally.
You're good. Geez, that's quite the intro to follow up, isn't it, really?
Well, yes, I don't know if you've listened to all the episodes, but I'd love to go back and find out just how many times you've been mentioned, because I remember even when I was doing this with Chambers, we used to always talk about, you know, every second guest would bring up your name in some shape or form. And sometimes it was things that you'd shared with them. Sometimes it was for mills that you'd hosted people on. Other times it was probably just getting up to a bit of mischief at trade shows. Who knows?
Oh, it's all sorts of weird and wonderful things, I suppose, isn't there? You know, you just got to cut your cloth every so often, but no, hopefully all positive.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. All positive. And if it wasn't, I would have edited it out. So
wonderful. Perfect.
Hey, look, we are going to talk about trends, but firstly, we're recording this on Sunday. So I know you're really busy. You're often out of the country. It has been really hard to track you down to try and get you onto this show. But what are you doing over the weekend? How have you spent your weekend?
I've actually spent it working. it's been one of those hard ones where it has been extremely busy. Business has rebounded back, which is, you know, we shouldn't complain about that. Look, we all went through absolute hell and we sat there praying for the day that we were going to be busy again. If anything, it's probably, I'm not going to say a tsunami that's come back in, but it's certainly been hard to stay on top of work that we're doing, which necessitates actually having to top up and do a few things at the weekend. But no, I've been out, walked the dog, spent some time with the kids at cricket and whatever, and then just sort of trying to catch up because I'm heading away again in a couple of weeks. So just
nice.
trying to get it sorted.
Yeah, I was wondering if you might mention the cricket.
Oh, my son's cricket, Michelle. That's
Okay, let's not go on to the test match, but I've enjoyed it.
I'm sure you did. You and your friends from the West Island, but anyway.
Oh, hey, look, so we are starting to prepare for trends. The appointment schedules opened at the end of last week. How many trends will this be for you?
I think it's 22, something like that. It's up there anyway. It's a few.
Yeah, I think I might have done one or two more than you, but I probably missed a couple in the middle as well when I was living in London and Australia. So
yeah, it's certainly been an eye-opener for me. I mean, I remember the first few trends I went to, you used to have to run around with your paper book and try and reschedule an appointment with someone, and then you get to the booth that they were at and they were already full, so you'd run to the next person and the next person, and now it's all done online and you click a button and hope you get your appointment and away you go. It's been quite the change.
Yes, it has been. It has been. And look, tell me a little bit before we get too far in, because believe it or not, there may be a few listeners that are tuning in who may not know you. I'm kind of thinking that's probably not going to be the case, but tell us a little bit about your role, where you work, and how you got to where you are in tourism today.
Okay, so I'm the sales manager for the Totally Tourism Group of companies, which is basically consists of the helicopter line, which we have helicopter bases, West Coast, Mount Cook, Queenstown. We've got Milford Sound Scenic Flights doing fixed wing trips down to Milford Sound. We own Mitre Peak Cruises, a boat company down in Milford Sound as well. Glacier Helicopters, not many people probably know that on the West Coast, is a secondary brand that we have over there. Challenge Rafting, Harris Mountains Heli-Ski, relatively self-explanatory. We also have a shareholding in Alpine Guides, which does ski the Tasman Glacier, Methven Heli-Ski, Mount Cook Heli-Ski, and the Tasman Glacier Heli-Hike in Mount Cook. So relatively eclectic sort of portfolio. But where did I come into tourism from? It was in 98. I started work at the Station Information Centre in Queenstown after a short stint as a night porter at the Copthorne Hotel in Queenstown. Starting 11 o'clock to 7:30 in the morning wasn't really for me. But no, after that, I then had a stint with AJ Hackett Bungee over in Cairns and came back and then started in my role as in, at Challenge Rafting in, I think it was April 2000. And I've been with the company since. It's a family business. So it's been some interesting ups and downs as we've gone through expansion over the years, but literally started off doing local sales for the rafting company here in Queenstown. And as the company expanded and grew, back then we had Kiwi Magic Movie, just for a few older listeners up at Skyline, that throwback there. But
bit of nostalgia there.
Yep. I think I actually found a couple of those old DVDs. I was cleaning out the office the other week. I was like, ooh. But anyway, as the company's grown, my role has changed from just doing local sales to doing international sales, conference and incentive. There was a period where the company was sold in 2011 that I went across and was group sales manager at Skyline Enterprises. So obviously had a bit of time in there with the team at Skyline Queenstown, Rotorua, and the accommodation properties, etc. across that group. And that was a really rewarding and amazing time. But when Skyline decided to diverse out, then obviously business was bought back and decided to move back across there. So it's been an interesting period and time of working with various people, but it's been, it's been very rewarding and very much enjoyed.
Yeah. And prior to coming on air, we were talking about some of the changes that have happened at Trends. What do you think are the biggest things that have changed?
Look, I suppose from the very, very early days, you remember back in the very early days, it was very much probably a Western market and a little bit of Eastern market emergence that was coming through. Then we saw the emergence of the China market coming in. Obviously, the digital expansion and change is gone. Then it used to be that you'd spend thousands of dollars theming your booth to try and get something that was unique and make a footprint to get people come in and sit down and have a look at stuff. And now it's very much standardized. There's the online platforms, Trends Connect, which makes it a lot easier, particularly for people that, you've got to remember, Trends is not a cheap exercise to go to. And for a lot of companies, it could be the difference between them doing an international sales trip or staying at home. But I'm actually a big fan of the new format where it's a standardization, because people don't want to meet with you because your booth's got heaps of theming on it. It's about what your core product really is the way I look at it anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And I always say, I remember one year I spent a fortune on a booth for one of the companies I was working for, and it was because we had a very large attraction opening and we wanted people to know about it. But at the end of the day, they're pre-booked appointments. And yes, the odd person might stop by your stand, but realistically, you're meeting with the people who've requested you and been appointed to you way prior to the event. So, yeah, you don't need that expense, do you?
Couldn't agree more, but hey, there were some pretty amazing booths that
there were.
Which is pretty common if you look back at it. But yeah, I agree 100% with you. And I suppose that is the beauty of the new format and the new program with Trends Connect Online is you can connect.
Yep.
You can message someone in advance. And that was one of the things that I sort of put down here is, you know, when you're looking to pre-do appointments, et cetera, the system's geared up to match mutual appointments.
Mm.
So if you can get somebody that you're interested in meeting with to request you, then the system goes, computer says yes, not computer yes. says no. You know what I mean? So
yes.
Just one of those little wee sort of things you suppose you look at when you're putting things together.
Yeah. Okay. So we're talking about appointment requests. So it makes sense now. When you're researching the buyers that are coming to Trends, how do you do that? How do you go about deciding who you want to meet with? And I know you do a lot of international travel, but every year there are new buyers that pop in. What's your strategy for working out who you want to see while they're here?
So I know this sounds a bit silly, but I think it's extremely important, first and foremost, to look internally at your own business and understand where that business is coming from before you even physically go and even open the Trends Connect platform, have a look and decide what you're going to do. Like percentages of your business, and we do this every year. Is it coming direct? Is it website driven? Is it coming from local sales agents, third party OTA, inbound, wholesale? Are you getting conference and incentives? That's really the first step of shaping what we're going to do to focus our plans around going into Trends. Second part for me is looking at country of origin of people that are traveling, because it's really about what are you getting from each of those markets that are coming to New Zealand comparative to the arrival stats, etc.
Yeah,
because it gives you a pretty good snapshot of where to focus your energy. Because like we've never been particularly in the helicopter game very strong into that Korea or Japanese market, and we've looked at it. I wouldn't suddenly go and request 50 appointments into that market when I know I'm getting good business out of Australia or China or India, Southeast Asia, UK, Europe, etc. So the real key thing for me is it's really important to take on board where your current business is coming from. I take a balanced approach where there are key people that I want to see and catch up with, even though I'll probably catch up with a lot of them outside of the meeting block as well. But then it's also a little bit, I hate to say, it's a bit like a fishing expedition, if you know what I mean. You look and go, is this someone new that I don't know? I haven't heard of this company. Do a bit of research on them. And the other part that's extremely important to me is talk to the inbound operators. Understand, because if you're getting business from inbound operator A, B, C, or D, quite often the voucher that comes through to you doesn't have who the background end client is.
Correct, yeah.
So contacting them and going, hey, look, guys, we're going to Trends this year. What or who that is selling my business that I should be looking to see? Because you might find that there's somebody that's coming to Trends that's one of your biggest supporters and you don't know.
Correct, yeah.
So really important. And if an inbound operator recommends that you go see someone, it's probably something that you should be looking at. The other key part, though, I think, is we need to also understand that buyers are qualified to be at Trends. Do you know what I mean? You just can't put your hand up from overseas and say, I'm coming to Trends.
Yeah.
So these people that are coming are actively selling New Zealand. Then also, as you look at it from a business point of view, it's important to look at traditional travel patterns for each market as you look to grow your business. So if I'm getting really good business, say from Australia or UK, Europe, et cetera, and I'm looking to branch out into, say, the Southeast Asia market, I need to go do some research on where those markets go. So for argument's sake, I mean, Singapore is probably a really easy one to reference here because they, as in Singaporean, particularly the tour market, have basically haven't changed their itineraries coming to New Zealand for probably 30 plus years. So if you don't sit in the Golden Triangle in the North Island or the main Golden Route from the South Island, you're probably not going to get value for money because you've got to put a value on every appointment that you have at Trends because there is a hard And the third part of what I was going to say is get in contact with the Tourism Export Council. It's a wealth of knowledge of people that can help people, particularly that are new to the market, because you've got to understand the distribution system. Because if you don't, and I don't mean to put a terrible analogy on it, but you could go to Trends, and if you haven't identified, is your product ready to go to market? Are you paying enough commission to be able to work with that market? If you're paying that commission, are you still as a business getting enough yield to ensure that you're getting return on the investment that you're doing? So my big part is you've got to go and visit the key inbound operators in New Zealand, ask questions, and then when you're going to, because those inbound operators are going to be the people that book your product.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we often say that before you even decide to go to Trends, you should have some of those relationships already established with the inbound operators, right? Because it's really hard to kind of do that retrospectively when you've gone and sold your product internationally. And then you're like, oh, hang on, who do you book through? Oh, right, I need to go and meet them. Whereas it's much easier to do that ahead of time.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, look, at the end of the day, there's no, I don't mean to sound negative here, there's no point going to Trends and trying to sell your product if you have no visibility through the inbound channel.
Yep.
Because fundamentally, those people that you're meeting with, they go, oh, I really want you to book this. You need to get loaded to be sold, to promote and work is the key componentry to it.
Yeah.
But every business has got to start somewhere.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So it's about asking the question, as I said, you talk to the Tourism Export Council, you've also got to remember that and within those countries that you're talking about coming here, there are Tourism New Zealand offices around the world. You can send an email to ask a question and get information because knowledge is king. And you might find that, majority of my business is coming from Australia. Okay, maybe Trends isn't right for me at the minute, but I can go across and see my key suppliers in Australia and talk to them. And then, I'm looking to grow now, but you've got a backbone of business that's coming through that can then finance and, because it's about the funnel really, isn't it? You tip business in and it comes out the bottom. It's just where that comes from and how you approach it is the key.
Yeah, that's right. Because all of us have got finite budgets, and we were chatting a little bit beforehand about how those budgets are getting a bit tighter for all of us in terms of traveling offshore, particularly with the dollar as it is at the moment. It is getting expensive. It's not going as far as it used to, that's for sure. So we do need to make some smart decisions. But look, when you're researching those buyers, how are you pitching yourself? And I'm not talking about your actual specific pitch, but what are some effective ways to target different types of buyers and to create a pitch that makes them sit up and listen? Because let's face it, at this point in time, they're probably being inundated with a lot of us sellers going, please meet with me, please meet with me, particularly some of those big markets.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think one of the key parts is don't send a novel. We're a new business, because you've got to remember that a lot of the big suppliers or key people that come down here are quite often looking for new product as well. So they're not coming all the way from England or whatever to catch up with all the people that they've already contracted and done. They want to expand their knowledge base of product that's within the region down here. So there's always going to be an interesting run through them when you're doing it. So I like to, as I said before, I like to pick out some key suppliers. There's ones that I always know that I'm going to catch up with outside of the main stuff, you know what I mean? So this was I'm not going to request an appointment with you this year because, let's be fair, I'm probably going to see you five or six times over the course of the week.
Anyway. And we're having dinner on this night and drinks on that
exactly,
night.
100%.
Yeah.
But the key one is when you're trolling through and having a look is, because look, you've got to kick over some stones sometimes, and every so often you'll kick one over and say, there's something amazing. And that happened to me at one time. I picked up a Japanese client and they were into heli skiing at the time. And he was coming down. They were literally selling New Zealand for the first time and ended up booking, I think it was 50 or 60 people with us that season. Now, happy days, tick.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't think, I don't want to give people false expectations. I don't think that's really the norm right now at the minute, if you're honest with you, because there's that longer term, the people that are coming to Trends now are really looking at their 25-26 touring program.
Yep.
Right? So to go to Trends in May this year and suddenly expect that you're going to get an influx of business this summer, I'd say just maybe peg back your expectations. You might get some business and come through. And that could be completely wrong. Some people might get picked up to something amazing. But it's just about making sure we tip at that level of what people expect is going to happen, because I look at people the way that they can make mistakes, if you know what I mean. It might sound a bit silly, but, you know, when you're selling to offshore people, you've got to remember you're selling New Zealand first.
Yes.
You know, the destination. Like, I'd love to put my hand up and go, everybody comes to New Zealand to do a helicopter flight or a boat ride in Milford Sound, but that's not the case. There's a plethora of options, from multicultural activity in the North Island, Hobbiton, to beautiful scenic route in the, you know, Milford Sound, etc. It's about the whole offering that we have. So you've got to understand your audience and client that you're talking to, and where are they traveling? North Island, South Island. Is there an opportunity for my product?
Yep.
And quite often that is just as simple as going to their website, having a look at what they're selling, see where their tours go. And if their tours don't go to where you're based, probably not going to be a worthwhile appointment for you.
Yeah. And it's so much easier now. Like, I remember if we go back 20 years ago, we didn't have websites to look at. We were literally trying to find brochures that these agents had. So now nearly everybody has a website. They all basically have on show online what they're selling. So it makes it a lot easier for us to do that. So there really is no excuse for you to say, I don't know enough about these agents, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, I remember, you know, 20 plus years ago, we used to get bookings through by fax.
Yeah, same.
We'd come through and there'd be a pile of paper on the floor that'd come through. We're like, oh my God.
And then you'd be like, just check under the fax machine that nothing's actually got stuck under there and we haven't missed one.
I remember we were excited when we got a stamp that made bookings quicker. Now you've got email templates and booking systems and everything that works.
So it's good, isn't it? What do you do if you don't secure appointments with key buyers? What are some strategies that you've used to try and catch up with some of those desired buyers at Trends?
Look, the key thing is, if there's people you want to meet with, and this is where lanyards are great, isn't it? You know what I mean? Because you can send an email and you can try and arrange something on the side. And quite a few buyers will happily do a side meeting at a morning tea, an afternoon tea. We'll catch up for a quick beer or something at the end of the day, because you've got those social hour times that are there and then. But look, don't be disheartened if you don't get all the big players, because I think sometimes some people spend too much time chasing the big accounts.
Yeah.
Going big account, chase. There's a lot of that. Look, five small accounts giving you a 25 grand of loyalty is better than one account of 100 grand.
Yep.
You know,
and
what
it
I mean?
Spreads your risk as well.
Well, yeah, it does, but it's a key part of, if you miss out on someone, don't be disheartened. You can send them an email and maybe catch them in a social setting or whatever. But the main thing around that is don't, and I just can't stress this enough, if you're in a social networking session, keep it informal, introduce yourself, hand over your business card, ask for their business card, and ask if you can send them some follow-up.
Yeah.
Pitching, coming in hot and aggressive with a hard sales pitch is not the way forward at a social event.
Oh, look, Paddo, I mean, I'm sure you have. I've seen that happen so many times when I've been standing there having a really nice informal catch-up about family, kids, holidays with buyers, and somebody's come in hot going, sell my product, you need my product. And it's like, no, it's not the right time to do that. Yeah. Like, just come and join us and join in on the conversation and become memorable in a good way, because you've just introduced yourself and you've started talking about your family and kids and holidays with us, then here's my helicopter ride, buy it.
Yeah, engaging with the buyers and building relationships is the key thing, isn't it, really, when you think about it? You're engaging with them. Look, here's the thing is, please, 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 people, and I see this at Trends all the time as well. You go to Trends and you look and there's two people from the same town that a best mate standing in the corner having a beer and a good time. So, guys, you're not there to hang out with your mate from wherever. This is an opportunity for you to grow your business, to interact and get a connection. And yes, you can get a connection on Trends Connect, Accelerate1 done. However, there is nothing better than just having that's why they're called networking sessions, informal catch-up, have a yarn. And do you know what? If that person likes you and you have an email back and forth, you can follow up on something and then they'll have a look at it.
Exactly.
You know, it is honestly, because I made a note here, a couple of things coming into this, is what mistakes do people make? And it is, I speak to a number of key inbound operators and a couple of them say that less than 50% of the people they meet at Trends follow up.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think going to your meeting, having a meeting, talking about your product, giving someone a USB stick and saying, hey guys, cheers.
Yeah.
It's only a third of the job done.
Yeah.
It's also mistakes made, lack of respect for a new operator. If you, just because you don't know somebody that walks up and asks you a question, they could be a potential boom. I mean, I remember there were problems with language difficulties with some markets when we first looked to open new markets. And people go, oh, God. Now like everyone's scrambling to go to some of those markets to get the business. It's, it's simple stuff like that. So in a networking social environment, do not buddy up and talk to somebody. I mean, everybody knows somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody. So ask.
Yeah.
I've had people come up to me and go, oh, hey, do you mind introducing me to this person if you see them? More than happy to.
Yeah.
You know, because it's an introduction like that that can help.
Absolutely. And we started back in the day where we didn't have cell phones. Like you talked about the fax machine. And I remember my very first Trends, I knew no one. Like I was so new to the industry and I didn't have a job that took me out of the office very often. And I remember walking around just going, oh God, I don't know anybody. And a couple of people grabbed me and said, hey, come with us. We'll introduce you to some people. You look a little bit lost. And the rest is history. And they're still friends to this day, you know, 26, 27 years later. And we've all started somewhere. So I think that's really important advice. One of the other things you touched on with standing in the corner with your buddy from your region, one of the things that I've done in the past is if I've taken new people to Trends, you almost set them a bit of a goal because I have this story from my very first Trends and still having that friendship with that first person that I connected with. It's kind of like you need to go out and find that person for you. And I want you to go and make some meaningful connections and report back to me at the end of the night who you've met and what you've learned about them. And it makes it quite fun to do that.
Oh, 100%.
Because not everybody, like you've got the gift of the gab. Some people would probably say I have too, put us together and like we're probably going to talk for hours, but not everybody does. So if you are a little bit introverted or you're a little bit shyer about just going up and approaching somebody, what do you say to those people? How do you get through that at an event like Trends where, quite honestly, you walk into the welcome function and there's 1,500 people there? And even sometimes for the seasoned veterans like us, it can be a bit daunting if you walk in on your own.
Look, I can tell you straight up, my first Trends was no walk in the park, sugar-coated, amazing experience.
Mm.
I mean, I remember walking in, I went, oh. And, you know, I've been very lucky that, and look, I'll say here now, a guy that gave me some of the best advice I ever got in tourism was Tony McQuilkin.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, Brad, if someone gives you business, make sure you go and say thank you.
Mm.
And that's a really simple thing, isn't it? You know, but then I look at another guy that I look up to and spend a lot of time with is Duncan Fletcher.
Mm-hmm.
Like he is relationships 101 and someone who has just absolutely gone out there and done it. Mark Rose, I mean, I take my hat off to him. He's got a pair of shoes on, wears them out, and he's gone and got business, you know. And that is the Henry Horns of this world as well. Great Ross Grundy's, you know, we talk names of people that are fantastic in the industry or have been in and out of the industry that have helped everybody at various points.
Yeah.
And look, there are some markets I'm stronger in and some markets I'm not. And the ones that I'm not in, like just before COVID hit, I got some really good advice from Cecil Portito about the Japan-Korea market.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he's an expert there,
You know, 20-plus years in the industry, I wouldn't even know who to pick up the phone and call.
Yeah.
But I made that call, and he was happy to introduce me. It was still my job to go and sell the product and do it.
Yeah, of course, yep.
So people should not be nervous about asking for help for people or an introduction or whatever, because you know what, 99.9% of the time, people are going to say, yep, hey, come over here. This is this person. And away you go. You know, it's Look, I've been very, very fortunate, I think, across the industry that, or the time I've been in here, to travel with some of those really cool people, like Jules Savile, Michelle Adolphs, you know, that Kerry LaHoods that spring to mind of where you're at. Mm-hmm. But you also remember there's a now, and sorry to go off topic here for a second, there's sort of been a middle tier of people that have disappeared during COVID, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And now there's a newer branch of people coming through. And this is probably what this is targeted at is, you know, they are the future of the industry.
Mm-hmm.
They need, and I've got to take my hat off to tech and the young tech mentoring program and everything like that, because helping here is going to make New Zealand tourism a better place going forward.
Yeah.
Because you can't just walk in the door and go, yep, I know everything and done. Regardless of, like I said, my first trends, I like to talk and have a chin wag and a laugh and a quiet beer and here you go. But I remember walking in and I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
This is daunting.
Same. Yeah.
And that was sort of part of the reason I was like, okay, I don't know if this is for me or not, but here I am 20 plus years later and going, do you know what? It's a very enjoyable, cool industry. But yeah, people, it's about making sure people come in and are welcome.
Mm. Yeah. What do you think the overlooked opportunities at Trends are from an exhibitor point of view, from a seller point of view?
What's overlooked? I mean, I sort of touched on it a bit before, is not following up.
Mm.
Single biggest waste of money if you don't follow up.
Mm.
Lack of respect of anyone that you don't know in front of you. Like, look, everybody knows a Trailfinders or an Audley or a Clan Brothers or a Dynasty Travel or whatever, but there's more than two operators coming from those markets down here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The missed opportunity. Get in contact with, and this is very simple, go to the Tourism Export Council website, look at the inbound operators that are on there, see what markets they work in, and make contact with them before, and this is first time exhibitors I'm talking about, or if you're looking to go into a new market, go and talk to them, ask for an appointment with them, because before you go and flood your appointment stream with a market that you don't know or understand, you need to talk to the experts in that market.
Yeah.
If you're looking at India, for argument's sake, you can send an email off to General Travel and ask what's going on, or Deepak at Voyage Home Journeys, and get some feedback on, is my product suitable for this market?
Mm.
So there's some really simple things you can do to make your life a little bit easier when you're looking at putting stuff together.
Yeah. And I don't think that's even just for new businesses going to Trends, Paddo. I think that's for any of us who are taking new product to Trends. I think it's always a good idea if you're launching a product at Trends, because a lot of businesses do that and they use that as a bit of a showcase. Give the inbound operators a bit of a heads up, because there's nothing worse than launching it to their clients. Their clients get all excited about it and the inbounds don't know about it because you're not seeing them for another 3 days, or you're waiting to follow up with them after the show. So that's one thing that I think is always useful as well.
I mean, you'll get the emails like I do, and we're looking at some stuff at the moment as to what we send out. Is various inbound operators send, the vast majority send updates to their key clients on new product, what's happening at Trends. So this is where it comes down to that planning part.
Yep.
Let them know now. They know that they've got the new product and the product teams can have it loaded, everything. Because you've got to remember, you're pushing and pulling from both ends. If the inbound operator suddenly gets this major surprise of a new product coming in, they go, why didn't you tell us about it? If they've got the ability to have it loaded in the system, they go, yep, you can book that through us, away you go, and it's done.
Yep.
But if it's another job or so, you can get that a wee bit wrong sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. And it's even little things, like if you're not making it easy for that inbounder to work with you, that inbounder can very quickly influence the overseas wholesaler whether they support you or not, because they can go, look, we've tried to get rates out of them, or they don't pay the commission that we need, or they don't answer their bookings in time, or whatever it might be. They're discounting online versus what they give us. There's a million different things that you can get wrong in that whole process, and if you don't have that relationship with the inbound operator, they literally can hold the balance of power for you in some respect. Yeah,
you got to remember, like me personally, I invest heavily in the inbound trade market. That is what we want to be, and that is what we work with. Look, they're the conduit that can book our business. if I make it too hard or I don't give them enough relevant info. And look, there's certain things, particularly in the last couple of years, that we've got right, and there's certainly things that we've got wrong. And I mean, I know I caused a lot of headaches with some rate changes at various points because suddenly fuel went up by 20-30%. That's unfortunate, but you don't knowingly wake up in the morning going, I wonder what I can do wrong to annoy someone. But it's a necessary evil of the situation that we found ourselves in.
But I'm sure it was also a lot easier for you, even though it was probably quite an uncomfortable conversation, because you had those relationships with people. It was a lot easier for you to go and have that than somebody who's just gone to Trends, not done their follow-up, sent out their rates, and then waited until the rates had to go up, right?
Oh, yeah, you know, I got some meaty phone calls.
I can't imagine.
I know it's not your fault, but, and I need to read. Okay, that's still, I take it on board. It's my fault. It's, But it's, look, collectively, it is just, it's pretty simple, isn't it? It's, you go to Trends, you get your product right, you pay the correct level of commission that makes it work, and everything flows through. And like you say, it's about follow up on your relationships, check on your return on investment. Did the money you pay at Trends line up? Now, the big thing is you got to understand, like I said, it's not a one-hit wonder.
Yeah.
If you're going there, you're going there. Look, if you're branching into an international market, it's not a one-hit wonder. You're moving this area. It's a sustained process. It needs constant servicing, right? If you got to put resources into your business to continue it to grow and to work. Yeah. Like you can't use petrol to run well, okay? But you've got to constantly put petrol in the car to make it run. If you take the petrol out, it stops. Really simple analogy, but if you've got international business coming to you, you can't just sit back and think it's going to come to you forever. You've got to make sure that you understand it, say thank you, and look after the people that bring your business. Then
Once
you've got that done, you can start looking at how you expand and grow into other markets that suit your business.
Yep. Really good advice there. Hey, look, I'm just conscious of time here because we do try and keep the episodes to bite-sized pieces that people listen to. But I have one more question that comes up quite a lot. As we've talked about the value of follow-up, what have you found works the best from a follow-up perspective?
Okay, so from a follow-up perspective, what we do is, and without giving away too many things, is great to meet you. Send a follow-up email. I always take a key note from every meeting that we have. Because, look, the biggest mistake people sometimes make is, here's one email, generic, send it to the database from the trade show I've just met and gone. And you think you've done your follow-up in 5 minutes. It is, make a note of something unique they might have said during the meeting and done. You know, did they mention their wife and kids? Are they coming on holiday back to New Zealand sometime? Because it shows you've actually listened to something they've told us. I don't make people fill in forms or anything else like that before using any of our imagery or whatever and done. Here's a link to the image library, and I bullet point out each of the companies we've got, and they go, hey, further to out, because I already know before I go to Trends what I'm looking to talk about and discuss about each product.
Yep.
And that varies from, and to be fair, I've actually, if you want my best piece of advice, this is what I do.
Yeah, of course I do.
I have about 24 different email signatures in my computer.
Mm-hmm.
And those email signatures vary from somebody that I'm meeting for the first time, somebody that I'm meeting for a second time, or people that I'm already working with. Hey, as discussed at our meeting, this is the updates on the core product that we have.
Yep.
It might be that, hey, we're building a new boat, or we've bought some more helicopters, or we've got another plane on order, or whatever and done. Do you know what I mean? Yep. And then here's your image library. Look, you don't need to fill any forms and just please go and click here. And there's videos in there. And our marketing team does an amazing job in the fact of there's 30-second, 45-second, 60-second clips. They can then use them on their social media, Instagram stuff that I don't understand at all.
Mm.
But there you go. You can push that out and use it. And then, like I say, that's the detail there.
Mm.
And we might attach some digital brochures at various points as well, but that normally sits in the link down below as well.
Yep.
Because as you well know, taking brochures. Do you remember the days when you used to go to Trends and get a free box to send stuff back home and people give me thousands of brochures and off you go? Those days are gone.
Yeah.
You're bringing brochures to Trends. It is not. what they're going to do is put it in their bag, take it back to their hotel room, put it in the bin.
Absolutely.
Because they don't want to carry. One of the, probably the last piece of advice I'll keep this is just understand what your sales call is when your client's there. Ask them, before you just rip into it and start bombarding them with your product, within a couple of minutes, ask them a wee bit about themselves, about their company.
Yeah.
What you're looking to achieve. Because you'll get little nuggets of gold that will come out of that.
Yeah.
And you'll realize, is it a sales call where they're actively seeking new business? It's a new account or existing account. Is a new product ready to go? Is it a service call? Oh, existing account. Hey, guys, thanks for your business. We bit of update. Here you go, baby, bang, and move on.
Yep.
Or is it an awareness call? A new emerging market coming. Give them the info, the full, that's where you go, your full blurb on, hey, is this info on our product or itinerary planning? The client's looking to book New Zealand, whatever. So is it a sales call, a service call, or is it an awareness call?
Yeah. And I think there's another one to add to that, because there's always a time when we might get an appointment with a buyer that we didn't really want. And we're sitting there looking at them going, it's not really the market that we deal in. Their customers aren't really the types of customers that will necessarily use our product. But I still think I look at it from the point of view that it's still a relationship building exercise, because you never know, A, if that business changes their model and starts to look at something that might suit your product. B, that product manager moves to another business that becomes a big supporter of yours. Like, there's so many different reasons to still respect that appointment and be present and get to know them, even if they're not necessarily selling the type of product that you're there selling at Trends.
So you look, and you're 100% correct. If you go back to near the start of when we started this conversation, there is a hard cost for every appointment that you have at Trends. So you take the total cost of attending, what are your airfares, what's your accommodation, hosting, whatever, divide it all out by your 50-odd whatever appointments, that's what it's costing you, that section that you're sitting in. And this is a really simple way to look at it for people that are coming. So that 15-minute block is costing me $200 whatever dollars plus to be sitting there. If someone comes and sits down and you go, okay, tell me a bit about your business, where are you going? Oh, I'm going here, here, and here. Okay, well, look. And I do this with the helicopters all the time. Your itinerary doesn't go to the West Coast. Why would I try and sell them France Coast?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Most itineraries go to Queenstown. I'm lucky, so I've got something I can weasel up or whatever and done. But if they're not going, I mean, I'm not going to try and sell heli-ski to the Indian market, for argument's sake. But you ask that question, you talk, and you might find some small piece of common ground that might work. It might mean your appointment realistically only has 5 minutes of proper wealth and done. Hey, look, that's the only part of our business that actually works for you.
Yeah.
I'll follow up with you on that and we'll see how we go.
Yeah. Yeah. Or just use that time to get to know somebody on a personal level. And what are they doing in New Zealand? Where are they going? I love being able to do that at Trends, where, you know, they're coming on for mill afterwards, pre or post, and having a chat about what they're enjoying in New Zealand. And it's just getting to know someone and connecting on more of a deeper level than just that surface level going, hi, this is our product. Hi, how are you going? Here it is. Boom. See you later.
No, exactly. 100%. And then, like I said, we've got product that works in certain areas, some things it doesn't.
Yeah.
And sometimes you've just got to bite the bullet and go, do you know what? This actually appointment didn't actually work.
Yeah. Yep.
But I must say though, since the online matching and being able to, because there's probably another piece of advice, don't be scared to decline an appointment when they get issued to you, because you can go find somebody else that may work for you.
Yeah.
And for people that are new to Trends, look, I don't fill my appointment stream with meetings with Tourism New Zealand because I know most of the people in that area. But if you've got an empty appointment,
they're a great resource to meet with.
You'll get a greater understanding of that market, that region. Yep. What can I do with my product to tick that over? And it's that way you're not sitting there going, oh, there's no such thing as a worst thing at Trends is a free appointment.
Yeah.
Because you've paid for that free time.
Mm-hmm.
You might not think it at the time after you've done 40-something appointments or whatever, but it's a cost to your business.
Oh, it is. And you're only there for a couple of days. So whilst you sit there and go, this is a lot, back to back to back, and yes, we all come away losing our voices at the end of the week, but it's like you actually have to make the most of it. And this is an opportunity. You mentioned right at the outset about the cost of going to Trends versus potentially doing an international sales call, well, I look at it from the perspective that you could never travel and see as many buyers as what you see in the couple of days at Trends for the money that you see them at Trends. So 100%. If you've made that decision to be there, make the most of every opportunity. And like, literally, I'm one that tries to fill every morning tea, lunchtime, afternoon tea, drink session that I can, because I don't do a lot of international travel. I'm not like some of you guys who do spend a lot of time offshore. So that's my time to connect with people. And if you are a smaller business, a newer business starting out, like, just get yourself match fit, get yourself ready for Trends, prepare for it, and know that it's going to be a huge couple of days where you're just going to talk nonstop, but you're going to make some really cool connections with people, and it will help your business in the long run.
No, 100%. Couldn't agree more.
Cool. All right. Have I missed anything, Paddo? Because we are running out of time. What have I missed anything in terms of the tips that you'd like to share with our listeners about how to get the most out of it?
Oh, look, the only thing is look, go back to the networking side of stuff. Go out, enjoy a few beers, have a good time, but know your limits.
Yes.
Because Trends used to be, in the years gone by, a badge of honor being out till 3 a.m. in the morning, getting stuff sorted and fronting up the next day.
Yeah.
I'm getting a bit older. But, you know, the reality, you've got to front up each day and give yourself an opportunity to get it right. And some people get first night fever. Just don't blow your lights out on light one.
Yeah, good advice. Because, like, as I mentioned, I was a buyer for a few years, and there was nothing worse than sitting in front of someone who was so hungover they could barely talk. So know your limits. Yeah, that's all we need to say about that.
No, 100%.
Okay, let's get on to our quick fire. Let's finish this off. I've got a few quick fire questions I'm going to throw at you, and I just want the first thing that comes into your brain. So our listeners can get to know Paddo a little bit better.
Okay.
Who's the most famous person in your phone contacts?
Probably Virat Kohli.
Ah, okay.
India. Yep.
Speaking of cricket early on.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was a movie about Brad Patterson's life, who would play Paddo?
I can't say Richard Cunningham because he's a bit old nowadays, but you know.
Hey, he would have been great in his, Richie days.
Jeepers, I don't know, actually. God almighty, that's actually put me on the spot. Move on, I'll think about that one.
Okay, we need our listeners to send us a message and let us know who they think should play you. What's your favourite book? Do you read much?
I actually used to read a lot of the CSI novels and stuff, but I actually haven't read a book for a very long time. One of my favourite books I've ever read, though, was Forrest Gump. Very different to the movie. Mm. Makes me jump on and get into it. It's pretty cool.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't read that one. What's one thing that you've done that you would never do again?
Honestly, play rugby while injured, because it's just come back to haunt me completely.
Oh, yeah, that sounds a bit painful. Who's your hero? Let's get deep. Come on. Who's your hero?
Let's get deep. Who's my hero? This is very tough, but look, my mum's my hero because, to be perfectly honest, actually both Mark and Jackie are my heroes.
Yeah.
They came to Queenstown, and to paint the picture, my mother's a school teacher by trade, Mark's a builder by trade. Mark's first job in Queenstown was working up Skyline Gondola in the bar. My mum worked at the bakery.
Yep.
And to get, I just cannot fathom the size of the stress and the balls taken to go and grow a tourism company, working it, to get it to the point where it is now.
Mm-hmm.
I am absolutely in awe of the work, time and effort that they put in to get it to there.
Yeah. Well said. I have to agree. And listeners, we have had Mark on the show, so go back and look for Mark Quickfall's episode, because it was a really nice chat. And I've known Mark probably as long as I've been in the industry, because he was running the helicopter line back when THL owned it and I was working at THL. So really great chat, and nice to hear that, Paddo. What's your favourite New Zealand destination?
You know what? This might surprise a few people. My favourite destination ever to go to has been Preservation Inlet and Kisby Lodge. I mean, I was very lucky to be able to get access to go down there with with a friend of mine out of Te Anau, and it was just a unique, amazing spot. I had an amazing holiday, family holiday internally just recently. Actually, I went to Rotorua with the family and we had a great time.
Yeah.
But literally just 10 days ago, the family and I went to Hamner Springs and it was amazing. And anyone that hasn't been to Hamner Springs, go and check it out. Like, it's a really cool little spot. But equally, from the Redwoods Tree Walk to Hobbiton to Te Puhi to the Polynesian Spa, like, being in Rotorua was a great family trip for us. And we were extremely, extremely humbled by how well we were looked after. It was amazing. Mm.
Yeah, I can imagine. Was that your first family holiday to Rotorua?
Yeah, it was actually.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? Because obviously Rotorua, like Queenstown, and you live in Queenstown, so that's a little bit different, but it is one of our iconic destinations. So for you to go there as a holiday when you probably spend so, well, I know you spend so much time with some of the guys from there and Hobbiton traveling around the world to actually experience it for yourself is pretty cool.
It was my first time to Hobbiton.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
And much to Henry's jargon and Russell's, they were like, it's totally taken you this many years. It was like, so last year was my first time to Hobbiton.
Wow. Where were you at the tech conference when we had it in Hamilton and went to Hobbiton?
I was away overseas.
Okay. Right. Oh, look, Paddo, that sums up the episode. And seriously, we could sit here and chat all night, but we do have to cut this off because, yeah, otherwise our listeners might cut us off. But thank you for joining us. It's great to have the man, the myth, the legend on the show who has been mentioned so many times. I can now say that you have been a guest on the Tourism Chat Show. So thank you for joining me.
Not a problem at all, Michelle. Anytime.
And thank you for sharing all your tips on trends. And hopefully, I am sure that there are listeners out there who've gone, I've made a note, I'm going to go and do that and get more out of their trends experience this year than they thought they might get.
No worries at all. Always happy to help. Thanks, Tom.
Okay. Ka kite.
Bye.